out of ten different people spelling your name, how many of them are going to get it wrong?
10.
Well, we're here today. We're at Catan South, and we're here with Ralph Otteson. Now, Ralph wears many hats. Currently, he is the Catan District Training Chair. He is the Order of the Arrow Moose Chapter Advisor. He is the head of the Religious Relationship Committee. And he is the chaplain down at camp. Did I miss any?
I don't think so.
Well, Ralph, I guess our first thing is, you've also had a varied different couple of careers. Mm-hmm. So where did you start and what led you here?
Scouting wise or real world. Well, I was the third generation of my family to practice law in Davenport. My grandfather, whose name was also Ralph, my father, and then myself, and my brother joined us, and I practiced law from 1965 until 1998 when I had the opportunity to retire. And I didn't want to go work in a retail establishment, and I didn't want to go sit in an office and draw wills, so I went to seminary and graduated and became a United Methodist clergy person. And I retired from that in 2009, and now I'm just a scout volunteer.
But you're still pretty active in your church. I know you go to Asbury Methodist, right?
I do go to Asbury.
And I know you still help out with that. Is it strictly on a volunteer basis? I know, but what are some of the things that you do for Asbury?
Oh, I teach Sunday school at Asbury, an adult Sunday school class. I am their chartered organization representative for scouting, and I also fill in when both pastors are gone.
And February 8th, we have a Scout Sunday service at Asbury United Methodist.
February 8th, 11 o'clock service, which is a contemporary service, will be Boy Scout Sunday. Every Boy Scout that shows up in uniform at that service will receive a patch, a Scout Sunday patch. And probably as long as they hold out, we'll probably give them to the adults as well. I understand we may have a special guest children's sermon that day.
And who would you be talking about? Who are you alluding to here?
I think it might just be Andrew Green.
I've heard of that guy.
I'm doing a 5K that morning.
This is the first time that I've been with the Illo Council that I've heard this trying to be done. And I don't know if this is something that... Because you brought this to our attention. Say, hey, why don't we try to do something like this? I think it's a fantastic idea. Because not every scout is necessarily a member of a church in the area. So what a good way for them to come and see what a Scout Sunday looks like.
Oh, it is. And in addition, a lot of the units are sponsored by civic organizations or other groups. So this gives them all an opportunity to associate with a religious institution. And after all, the duty to God is an integral part of both the Scout Oath and the Scout Law, so we need to foster that as best we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about one of your other hats that you wear in our district training chair. One of the really cool things that I know that once you took that position we talked about was the numbers that we currently have are just not good enough, and you are doing the best that you can to up those numbers. And in doing that, you found some help. You've built a committee around you, and I know that you guys are starting to put together a plan to double our training numbers in 2015. So you can talk about who you've put on your committee and some of the things that you are thinking about doing coming up in 2015.
Sure. Our committee's now, we're up to four now on our committee. Scott Johnson, who has been a trainer for years and years and years and years, is on the committee. He also is the council's outdoor leader skills chairman. Mm-hmm. He runs that program. Karen Romer from Troop 82 is joining the training committee, and she has got to be one of the most enthusiastic people I've ever run into. And just her enthusiasm is going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a new guy, a gentleman named Tony Place, walked into the council office and volunteered to be a volunteer. And his experiences in training and
it just doesn't happen.
I recruited him, and well, it's a lot like I when I first came back to to the Quad Cities. I walked into the scout office and volunteered and said I'd been doing training up in Waterloo, and they put me on the training committee. So.
And how long have you been with the ILO Council now?
This time since 2006.
And the time before that, what was your...
From about 1974 through about 1990.
Wow.
Now, you went to like a jamboree with R.D. Duncan, right? Or something?
Yes, 1985 that? Jamboree. I was the contingent leader, and he was the first assistant scoutmaster of one of the troops.
Wow. So, wait, you were the contingent leader of the entire jamboree?
No, of our... Of the Illinois Council. Yeah. Of the councils, yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, that's pretty cool.
But we only had two troops in those days.
Oh, wow. And now we're up to four.
Up to four now.
So we doubled it. Maybe that was something when they're like, if we get Ralph out of leadership, we can double the attendance of our chamber.
How it was?
I'm not sure, because I think they still visit the same places on the way back.
So what if I was a new Cub leader, what are some of the trainings that would be beneficial for me to take?
Well, of course, there's one that's required, and mm-hmm. that's youth protection training.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for all the new charter information to get online so we can keep track of that. But I think we're doing darn well in youth protection training. Mm-hmm. But we also got to be aware that it expires every 2 years, so you've got to keep
right.
it up. The other training, there's what we call position-specific training, and they've got it for Cub Masters, for Den Leaders, for Weebelo Leaders, for committee members, for every position within a pack. And that's run at the district level. We will help provide that training. Also, it's all online mm-hmm. through myscouting.org. And it can be taken that way, or we can do it a combination where we get a group of people together and do it online. There's any number of ways, but we're trying to encourage that because what they call direct contact leaders are required to have their position-specific training in order to qualify for Journey to Excellence. Now, direct contact leader is defined as Cub Masters, Den Leaders, and assistants, Cub Masters and assistant Den Leaders. Committee members aren't absolutely required, but I don't want to let that out too much because I'd like everybody to get trained.
That's something that we talked about, that, you know, if we're just shooting for JTE numbers, I think we're shooting low. You know, I think everybody would like to send their boy and or girl to a venturing
right.
crew that has trained leaders. Regardless of what their role is, we want them to go to a trained unit.
And in the Cubs this year, it's really important because the whole Cub program is going to change starting in May. What the activities, the requirements of each mm-hmm. rank and everything are going to change totally. So the folks, even if they've taken training before, they might want to try it again just
yep.
to see what's new.
Yep, that's good.
The Boy Scout training, on the other hand, is all handled at the council level. All the courses are offered by the council training committee at various times during the year. Maybe not quite as much as we would like to see, but we can also make arrangements. We have a couple of members of our district training committee who are qualified to
mm-hmm.
teach the Boy Scout training, and we can make arrangements to do a special course if we're asked to do that.
Sure.
The other training that's needed is what we call outdoor leader skills. That's the Boy Scout version. The Cubs have another version, and Weebelo leaders have a third version. In any campout setting, the Cubs have to have one person in residence who's qualified through those outdoor courses.
Mm-hmm.
Boy Scouts, every assistant scoutmaster and assistant scoutmaster has to take the outdoor leader skills
right.
in order to be trained.
Well, I know we have really high hopes for 2015. I think the committee that you've put around you and you heading it up as the chairman is a really good thing for the District of Catan. If there are any leaders out there that have any questions, Ralph's information is accessible. Email us if you can't find it somewhere, but if you have questions about training, we will definitely shoot you towards Ralph, and we'll make sure that you get the training that you requested. Yeah. I know part of the conversation before we started this, we wanted to talk about another faction, another part of scouting that's kind of near and dear to Andy and your heart, and that's the Order of the Arrow and the positions that you guys hold. So if you wouldn't mind just talking a little bit about the current status of our Order of the Arrow.
Well, with Ralph, Ralph is the Moose Chapter Advisor, which that is the Catan and Meskwaki districts, the Order of the Arrow within those two districts. Now, for people who don't know, the Order of the Arrow is kind of a service organization, an honor society, if you will, chosen within the Boy Scout troops. And so they're essentially a service organization for the council and for the districts. Ralph is the advisor for Meskwaki and Catan. Mm-hmm. And I know Dan Moore has been helping him, and he has some other help there. But the biggest thing right now is that we're trying to make sure that the Order of the Arrow in our chapter is strong, mm-hmm. and is really helping out and building there.
We are, and one of the issues that we have is that the records of who are and are not members of the OA or dues paying members of the OA or even just ever been a member of the OA within our chapter within those two districts are kind of in state of disarray. So we're trying to work on that, and we're going to use the Order of the Arrow election process in the troops this year to try and update those records. We're going to ask each troop to give us a record of who they have within their troop that is in the OA.
Can you guys talk a little bit about the election process? Because I know that was completely, well, the whole organization was completely new to me when I first came in, but when I heard about that there was an election process that they hold in the Boy Scout, within the Boy Scout troops, I didn't know a whole lot about that. So if you wouldn't mind, just explain that a little bit and how that goes and what it might look like, because I'm sure there are some Boy Scout leaders out there that mm-hmm. may have never held one or have maybe heard about them but never seen one. So
yeah. Now, for the eligibility to be in the Order of the Arrow, you have to be a first-class scout with 15 days and nights of camping within about, I think, a two-year period. One of those... part of that has to be a six-day, like a resident camp.
Mm-hmm.
So either resident camp or Philmont or Boundary Water, some type of high adventure.
Sure.
If it's like a six-day course, that also fits the bill. But also you need to have your Scoutmaster approval. Mm-hmm. So the Scoutmaster does approve everybody that's on the list. And so that's for anybody. Now if you're an adult, you can be chosen by your committee in the troop. And you still have to have the camping requirement, 15 days and nights of camping, one of them being a long-term camp. Now, for every three boys that are elected, you can elect one adult. Now, it's every three. So if you have three boys, it's one adult. If you have four boys, it's two adults because you've entered that third second set of three boys. And the scoutmaster of the unit is not part of that ratio. So a unit that has a scoutmaster that fits those qualifications can be elected into the OA without, and it doesn't affect their ratio of adults. So I know that's really, might be kind of confusing, but it's way better than how it used to be. And we're able to get a lot more adults into the Order of the Arrow that way. So for every three boys elected, you can have one adult. So,
and that's a way... We're talking about the process of getting in to the Order of the Arrow, but now what do we have going on with the current members of the Order of the Arrow?
Let me just add to the election thing.
Yep.
There'll be a letter going out to every scoutmaster within the next 2 to 3 weeks asking them to give us a date to come and conduct, because the OA conducts the elections for each troop. So we'll be asking them to give us a date, and we will send a team of at least one adult and a couple of OA members to conduct the elections in each troop.
Cool.
That we're going to train those folks. If anybody's interested, and this is any OA member, adult or youth, that wants to come to the council office at 6:30 on Wednesday, February 11th, we're going to teach them how to conduct an election.
Cool.
And work from those records.
Good.
Our hope is that we get enough names and so on that we're going to we can have a social activity, just a fun social activity. Some folks, I guess, get the idea that all the OA does is go out and cut brush out at Camp Loud Thunder and things like that. But we're not. We do a lot of other things, and we want to have some fun and do that and also help out some activities like Cub Day Camp and some things like that, that they can actually do some fun things. But we've got to find out who they are before we can do that.
Now, Ralph, another big thing that you're involved in is you've kind of completely redone the chaplain program out at summer camp. So what are some of the things that are available now through the chaplain program out at camp?
Oh, there's a lot going on out at summer camp. It started, I think, 3 years ago when a couple of us got together, Father Glenn Harris from Port Byron and I got together and noted that there was no chaplaincy program of any kind out at summer camp. There was no chaplain. There was just the Vespers service on Tuesday. So we created a program called Duty to God, which was a small devotional program, which is any scout could accomplish. It had 10 little requirements you had to do six of and daily devotionals. Well, that worked great the first year we did it. And there was a chaplain out there, I think, 3 days during the week. Not resident, but just come out during the day. When we got ready for the second year, all the boys that were coming back for their second year had already done the duty to God, and they were saying, what can we do now?
And
we really didn't have a program for them, so we kind of winged it that second year. But we did increase our presence at summer camp to have a chaplain in camp 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or 6 days a week. Last year, we added a program called Leathers, which is an in-depth faith and values program. It takes a week, almost the whole week, for a scout to complete it. We have, we'll eventually have seven of those programs, and they are each a different color, designated by a different color, and a scout can win an award for each of those colors. This year we're going to offer three of them. The other thing we're doing this year, we're increasing the presence of chaplains one more time. We're going to have a full-time chaplain who will be there the whole summer, one the same chaplain the whole summer, and then we will have guest chaplains who will be out there 2 or 3 days a week.
Cool. That's awesome. That's really cool. Now, this Leathers program you're talking about, this isn't a national initiative. Is this something you guys have kind of constructed, or you've built onto something that was already existing?
I first saw the program at the Heart of America Council in Kansas City. They'd put it on at their summer camps for a number of years, and they've got, I think, three camps, so they had just a massive program. So I kind of borrowed the idea of their program, and we've been working with it to make it fit within our camp concept.
Cool.
You know, I think that Kansas City, their camp, they don't have Year of the Arrow. They have...
What is that called? Oh, what is it? It's with the claws, right? I mean, they have those, they have like a necklace that they earn, like bear claws or something. You know, like we have the
Mikise.
Sash.
Mikise.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Yep.
Yeah, so that's interesting that that's... where that would come from. Now, I think that all of this chaplain stuff was all dreamt up by Anne to get Ralph out of the house in the summer.
If you look at all the paperwork and all the documentation here, it says authored by Anne Otteson.
You know, because during the summer, on Anne's Facebook, she's out water skiing. She's
living
like,
it up.
Backpacking through the Alps. And there was a picture of her on Easter Island, so I think that
because
she's just...
I did wonder why she was buying me all this new camping equipment.
Yeah.
Encouraging you, because you will be that 24/7 chaplain this summer.
I'll be the 24/7, yes.
Very cool.
I'll also be teaching three merit badges.
Which merit badges will you be teaching?
Communications, citizenship in the community, and crime prevention.
Nice.
And now... you know, we talk about Ralph is very involved in our community, and you are the with the Grand Wizard of our local Masonic Lodge.
That's not the title, is it?
No, no.
So wait. So now, is it true, though, that, like, once you hit your level of being a Mason, you know, like, what's written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, and if there's aliens, and...
The first part's a movie. The first part, that's National Treasure.
That's right? That's based on your story.
Nicolas Cage and I are really tight.
One of the funniest things Ralph has ever said to me is I was like, so you know where the Ark of the Covenant is, right? And he goes, do you think if I knew where the Ark of the Covenant is, I would be a Boy Scout volunteer in Davenport, Iowa.
Well, I know you also head up the Religious Relationships Committee at the council level. What are some of the initiatives that we have? I'm sure they had something to do with this program out at camp as well. But what are some of the other initiatives that this committee does?
We're working real hard on the Religious Awards Program, which has a number of components. The Boy Scouts of America do not have or do not operate a Religious Awards Program of their own.
Mm-hmm.
They utilize the services of the various denominations.
Yeah.
The Catholic, Roman Catholic Church has a, through its National Committee on Scouting, has a number of programs for Religious Awards for both youth and adults. Most of the Protestant churches, I say most of the Protestant churches, have banded together through an organization in, out of St. Louis called PRAY, P-R-A-Y, to provide programs for religious awards for youth and adults. The youth are earned awards where the Cubs and the Boy Scouts actually meet and work and work their way through a course in order to earn the awards, and there are four levels of those awards for the boys. And adults are nominated by the not by the Boy Scouts, they're nominated by their religious institutions for the adult awards. The kind of the neat thing is that the Youth Religious Award is the one award that an adult volunteer can carry over from his Cub Scout days onto his adult uniform. Mm-hmm. So you can have a volunteer adult could have both the youth and the adult religious awards on their uniform.
Yeah.
What's the other one? Aerolite?
Aerolite can go from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts, but not onto the adult
uniform. No, Aerolite can go on your adult uniform.
It can.
I thought that was one of them.
Because those are the three knots that I have is Aerolite, Youth Religious, and Eagle Scout. So yeah, Aerolite's the only adult, or the only... Cub Scout award that can be worn.
But I've heard we may have to cut the corner off your religious award.
Why?
Why is that?
Because you've been getting more and more irreligious as you
cut the corner off the religious. Oh, man.
Well, Ralph, before we go into some of the questions that we have for you that we asked all of our guests, is there any other events that are coming up that you'd like to plug that you have something to do with directly?
Oh, well, sure. We've got the Wood Badge Reunion Dinner. Now, that is going to be on this Saturday, the 31st. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll be on the air by...
No, yeah, so technically it'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Come to Asbury United Methodist Church at 6 o'clock and we'll feed you. And if you're interested in Wood Badge or you've been on Wood Badge, we'll take care of it. The second one is the Order of the Arrow Winter Dinner, which is on Saturday, February 21st. 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock is social time, 6 o'clock dinner. That's going to be at the Call Educational Center on 3rd and Ripley in Davenport, in downtown Davenport. We're also going to be doing some special ceremonies, going to do some, honor Jerry Sheldon, who passed away recently, and some other things. It's going to be a pretty interesting evening. Gee, I think that's probably about it.
Well, we got a lot of information, definitely. I mean, as far as, you know, from the beginning of this podcast, there's a lot of different things that we've covered, and just shows you kind of your span of the different areas that you touch within scouting. So, you know, we appreciate your time, and I know that we're going to do some great things on the district level with you. I know you're already doing great things on the council level. So, let's jump into those questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
First question. Your favorite current television show?
My current favorite television show is... Bloods.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Bloods. And that's the one with the...
Tom Selleck and the whole family of cops. Yes.
Yeah. And then one of the new kids on the block is in that.
Yeah, Danny.
Ralph just went completely straight.
No, Dan Wahlberg.
Donnie
Wahlberg. Yes. And hey, boy, and I also saw him on TV with his wife, Jenny McCarthy. Not a bad joining there.
So, Ralph, you've lived some years, right? What was the first program you can remember watching on television?
Captain Video.
What is Captain Video? I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of that either.
What
you remember? Have you ever seen a picture of a TV with a round screen?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Captain Video was the star of round screen television.
Really?
He drove a spaceship around, and aliens tried to get him.
It was real live action stuff, or was it
live action stuff. It was pretty pathetic by today's standards, but it was pretty cool. That and Howdy Doody were my two.
No kidding.
My two favorites.
Howdy Doody.
Wow. That's cool. Video. I had never heard of that.
Howdy Doody had the peanut gallery. Was that like a goal of yours?
No. I wanted to be Buffalo Bob.
Yeah. You didn't want to be Clarabelle the clown?
No.
The mute clown? Oh, man. Wow, look at that. You can't get more black and white than that. We're looking at an image on the computer of this Captain Video. Wow. Well, they should. This is totally has potential for a reboot, a gritty reboot of Captain Video. Man. Oh, wait, so Ralph, if you had to start all over again and you get to have one dream job and it can't be anything that you've done, so you can't be a lawyer or a clergyman, what would be your dream job?
Gee, what would be my dream? I'm not 100% sure. I think golf professional.
Really?
Do you have a pretty mean swing?
No.
Do you know how to golf right now?
Yeah, you said it was a dream, right? I used to have a good swing.
Now, for your current job, you do drive around in a golf cart all day.
Yes,
I do that.
So
you're almost halfway there.
I'm close.
Yeah.
Now if we can just turn Loud Thunder into a 9-hole course.
There's some potential there.
We got some backwoods back.
That's what I was thinking.
This might be a good idea.
Some narrow fairways, though.
Yeah.
Last question that we asked all of our guests. If you could meet anyone, alive, dead, or fictional, and have a meal with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
I would meet Felix Frankfurter, who was a justice on the United States Supreme Court a number of years ago. When he joined the court, he was considered one of the most liberal members to ever join the court.
Mm-hmm.
And when he finally left the court, when he finally retired and left the court, he was considered one of the most conservative members of the Supreme Court. But he never changed. His opinions were exactly the same.
But the times changed.
But
the times changed around him. This must have been like the early 1960s.
50s.
Yeah.
And back in the 50s. And he was just a brilliant, brilliant jurist. And I always admired his opinion because he used to write majority opinions and then he was writing dissenting opinions and just a...
It's interesting.
Everybody, you know, Strom Thurmond, he was a senator until he was 100 years old. He was just rotting in the corner and people would raise his hand for votes and stuff. And he was a very outspoken, liberal, like, Democrat senator, and then he spent the rest of his career as a Republican. And there was definitely a change in there somewhere.
So the public opinion during that time changed. That's what really... He stayed the same.
His view of the law stayed constant. But the way people viewed the law and viewed the interpretation changed.
That's interesting. That's interesting. What would you eat with him?
Whatever he wanted. It would have to be kosher because he was Jewish.
Really?
Yes.
So, like, Hebrew National hot dogs?
Nathan's hot dogs wouldn't have been bad.
You know how you can tell when a hot dog is a Hebrew National? I probably shouldn't tell this joke on the podcast.
I'm going to stop him right there. Heard this joke, we probably shouldn't put it on.
Oh, man.
But hey, if they listen to the podcast, they can ask you what that joke was, right?
Yeah, I'll gladly tell
so
them.
So Ryan Yoder will ask you to finish that joke.
I should just call Ryan now and tell him the joke.
Well, Ralph, thank you so much. You know, first of all, for being such a dedicated volunteer at the district and council level. I know Andy and I have definitely learned a lot from you just in the short time that we've had our time with you. So thank you, and thank you for sitting down with us today.
Hey, you're welcome. I just have one request.
Uh-oh. Stop the podcast?
No, can I be in charge of the Sparkies?
Yes.
We have to limit on how many Sparkies we can give out. Wait, thank you, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.